For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have seven different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN, we love them. We love you guys for watching wrestling with us and hanging out with us on our SmackDown post show for March 28th. We are coming right up on WrestleMania, so we've got a lot to talk about with this SmackDown. I could get used to some afternoon wrestling, Alex. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm digging this timeline.
I don't know how we landed here, but I'm with it. If they want to move WWE overseas with this deal with Netflix and have shows in the middle of the afternoon, I am not opposed to it.
I'm like, let's do it. Let's do these international shows. Alex is watching this on the USA Network right now, and he says he regrets it already. Well, let me tell you, NordVPN is great. And the only thing about watching it on Netflix is, Alex, if you think the Wheatley's jingle gets stuck in your head, the on hold music that plays on commercial breaks, it's like, it's a vibe. So I don't hate it, but man, it gets stuck in your head. But guys, we are getting started. We're going to keep letting some people filter in with these European shows have like funky start times for our post show. Sean said we can do whatever we wanted. We said, hey, let's go on to 8 o'clock because in London, it's a 4 hour time difference. So this SmackDown episode only ended about an hour ago, which is kind of nice. Like it's not a super, super big lag time, but we've got a contract signing to talk about. We've got plenty more, but Matt Logan starting us off with these super chats and humper chats, which you can get in at humperchats.com. I do have access to that today, but good old fashioned super chats will also help. Your support means a lot. This is genuinely how we fund our shows. As much as people love to say we're on, you're a grifter for WWE or you're on Fightful payroll. We're not.
It's you guys... great getting those double checks, by the way. Bring them on.
I you know, in Office Space when he's like, I didn't receive my paycheck this week. I'm waiting on that from Trips, from Tony Khan, whoever. But Matt Logan says, thank you, Fightful, for all the good content. Well, thank you so much. We do have a lot of content here, and we'll take a second to tell you about it as people are still filtering in. I'm seeing those numbers go up as people are realizing we're on air here. But we do have post shows for pretty much every American televised product. We have Raw. And then you also have me and Alex Pulowski doing a Raw post show review on FightfulSelect.com. Alex and I also have the Tuesday NXT review, which some weeks now it's the best product on television. It's really threatening the sour brand. It's really hurting us. It's really pivoted in a much more positive direction. But Wednesdays, of course, you have the AEW Dynamite review. Alex wasn't there for that this week because he was on spring break with his family. But Sean had you covered this week. Normally it's that dynamic duo there, but love a good Dynamite review. And on Thursdays, Joel Pearl had your TNA review. Sean hopped on that this week to talk a little bit about the firings of Gail Kim and some of the other executives there. Mind-boggling decision. My mind is boggled. I don't know how else to describe it. But and then Fridays, of course, our SmackDown post show right here. Normally it's 10 minutes after the broadcast ends. These European shows got us feeling a little funky, but We'll also invite you to check out The Hump every Wednesday with Sean Rossap and Jimmy Van. When Jimmy Van's not there, that's just a super chat driven Q&A show. And Sean answers everything that he can for you. So we got a lot of content. We got Ask Grapsity on Fightful Select. We have Grapsity every Saturday morning. We got a lot of stuff cooking here on this Fightful YouTube channel. So please do leave a thumbs up. We do appreciate that. Please do subscribe as well. With these funky start times, you're going to want to tap that bell for notifications, as the content creators like to say, as the streamers like to say. So please do. Please stay in the loop. It goes a long way in supporting us. And of course, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Sean has just a straight up Q&A show behind the paywall. Best $6 in the biz. It's going to actually be $6 now moving forward. We had a Patreon billing glitch, so it was $5 for another month. So that was just our appreciation for all of your support. But now the prices are actually going up to $5.99 a month, I think. But let's dive into this episode of SmackDown. Cardoza, you're here with me. It's 8:15 at night. I'm loving that for us. Contract signing is interesting. There's still some mysteries to be solved with what this great favor is. But other than that, you know, we were kind of talking before we went on air. It's not the best when you could look at a card and be like, that match is probably going to have a DQ. Mm-hmm. That match is probably going to have interference. And for the past 3 weeks, not to pat myself on the back, but I've been accurate in my predictions about those things. Feels like we're kind of in a booking rut for this European tour, but these live crowds are amazing. We've gotten some good in-ring. What did you think of tonight's show?
Like you mentioned, some of it was predictable, but I mean, that's we'd like to look at these shows and we're like, all right, cool, SmackDown's over there, we're global, da da da. But all in all, like, you know, it's more of a bigger house show for them, right? Because you got television there. So they kind of do feel like they're trying not to get a lot of their talent hurt. WrestleMania's around the corner. You're overseas. You don't want, that's the last place you want to get hurt at, is somewhere over there and then having to come back and heal right before anything else goes down. But yeah, it's exactly that. This is why these European tours, when they were done back in the day, they were just, you know, the huge super shows they used to do for house shows where they combined both brands and just, you know, we got a glimpse at it, but we didn't really like get to see what was going on. But I mean, yeah, you called it. I was when we got on, I was just like, gosh, I missed maybe the first 1 or 2 minutes of the show.
That means he's fired. You can't miss a single second. I definitely don't have to walk my dog during these sometimes. So no, I'm just kidding.
But and we'll get to it. At least we got a real glass spot. So, you know.
We did.
Dad really did the show for me. So that made me happy.
Could have been sugar glass. Oh. Alex is chanting red long in the chat right now. Cody, Cody Rhodes, Cody, Cody Rhodes, repeat forever. Yeah, these crowds are nuts. It's really fun. It's really fun with that. It really livens the experience watching. But Creative Hermit coming out to hang out with people.
Let's go.
Like, that's what's kind of fun about watching shows at home, right? You get to interact with people, but you still kind of get to be a hermit because you don't have to socialize in the great outdoors. So our Creative Hermit saying, tonight's SmackDown was my first live WWE event. Dragged my brother along and we had a great time. Now time for my Friday fruit and clavicles. Oh my gosh, I love that you got to do this. I love that you had a great time. You were a part of a great crowd. You were so much fun. You were chanting football chants, I believe, during the women's match. You guys were fired the whole night. Thanks for the fruit emojis. We'll take those. Anytime you drop one here, that takes them away from Sean on a Monday and moves them into our category. So we'll take it. We'll take it. Sure. But I'm so glad that you got to go. Going to wrestling live is just the best. And then getting to go with like someone that A is also excited to go and B that you like love. It's just such a fun experience to go.
And I just want to say this, man. Listen, we all have our favorites. We all have our freaking ginormous cups that are green that we drink whatever we want to drink out of. But when it comes to freaking live wrestling, okay, it doesn't matter whether it's WWE, AEW, MLW, TNA, whomever.
Dude, Outlaw Mud Show.
Yeah, an Outlaw Mud Show. Live tonight, Sunday. You guys, it is so good to just go and have a great time. hang out with, you know, fellow like-minded wrestling fans, sing along. It doesn't matter what other people think, man. I just have fun. And I love to hear what, you know, read what you just sent to us, because that's what watching these shows is all about. It's an escape from, we know the real world outside that door there is really crazy. So staying here, watching wrestling, and having fun with all of you is what it's all about.
We not only know the real world, we also know the road rules.
Wow.
That was an MTV joke from a decade and a half ago. I'm on it. You know what? It's because it's 8:20. I'm like, I'm on my jokes today.
What did you hear?
Did your brother go?
Sorry.
I didn't see. This is also the beauty of podcasting from home, because if that was in front of a live crowd, I probably would have gotten tomatoes thrown at me.
Truth.
But I don't know. You guys could just be whatever. I rolling your eyes at your jokes. I don't see it. I don't hear it. I'm fine with that. You said your brother went when they were in Puerto Rico, right?
Yes.
He said it was just nuts, right? Like that was the Bad Bunny show. And yeah,
everyone that was even through TV, it remains one of the best shows I have ever watched. I just turned 43 last Sunday. And I do got to say, I've been watching wrestling for a very long time. And the fact that that one right there was the craziest coming through the TV live event that I could remember in my adulthood is insane, you know? And people there live, you know, got Mike Rome, who was there, who called the show. He said the place was just like, not called the show, but he was just, he was there. He just said that the place was, I mean, you could, like, he's never seen anything like that, where people were just singing before the song even started and going nuts.
Absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. Some more love from you guys before we dive in, and we'll get talking about some SmackDown momentarily. But just Ricardo saying hello, my lovelies, with a little pointing emoji, a little MXM style point with the grapes in there. The 3-hour promo? Well, we're going to talk about it all in a moment, but Tina Keys saying, good evening, everyone. Keeping it short and sweet, sending loves and hugs to one of the hosting duos. Well, thank you so much. We have so much fun on Friday nights. Let's start at the end first, because some good and some bad about this, right?
Yeah.
One, it was a 25-minute contract signing, which means you know that there's to be a lot of entrances. But when they got going, some really, really good stuff came through this. So Nick Aldis is moderating this, and we love him because he's a very efficient GM. Reigns comes down. He's drinking in the crowd. Seth Rollins interrupts pretty much immediately. Rollins and Reigns have this back and forth. Honestly, I feel like Seth Rollins, low-key the MVP of this whole angle. I feel like he's doing a really, really, really good job with this part, but he kind of reiterates what he had said to Roman Reigns previously, that like, you at Survivor Series had the chance to cut the head off the snake, but you didn't, so now it's his mess to clean up. What did I write? I can't read. I'm just
ladies and gentlemen. What's in the cup?
Signed his contract. I wish that was why. I wish it wasn't because I'm dyslexic. But after Rollins signs the contract, Punk comes to the ring, and he looks through the pages pretty carefully. And I gotta say, good job, CM Punk. You gotta be looking at your contracts, people. You can't just go buying cars.
Yeah.
Right. Agreeing to terms and conditions online without reading them, you're going to get yourself into legal snafu. So CM Punk is looking through this contract pretty closely, but he's looking for something specific. And Paul Heyman stops him and says, I know what you're looking for. Your dream is going to come true. You are going to main event WrestleMania. And Punk thanks him for that. And we get Roman Reigns saying, this wouldn't have happened without me, so your ass should be thanking me for the fact that you're getting this WrestleMania main event. You had all these other years in WWE and you didn't get a WrestleMania main event. Not till I came along and became the biggest thing, right? That's what he's getting at. And CM Punk kind of sarcastically does this thank you, my tribal chief kind of thing. Like, oh, thank you for becoming so popular. But he says, thank you, but that's not the favor that I'm owed. So there's something that is still lingering. Now, Alex Plaskey and I had talked on Monday about the possibility of what if the winner of this match gets inserted into the Cena Cody Rhodes triple threat. I also think maybe they get the title shot at SummerSlam. They get to join into something at Backlash or whatever. Like, maybe it's not the 1-2 turnaround. Quite frankly, if you're going to do a proper triple threat, I don't know if you want to expect, I'm assuming Punk wins it. I don't know if you want to have him wrestle on back-to-back nights. But that's not the end of the story with this. It's kind of an interesting element. I loved Seth Rollins losing his mind, being like, no, this guy doesn't get to have his dream come true. This guy has not earned it. I love Rollins in this. I love Roman Reigns just soaking in the crowd reaction, being like, thank you, wise man. This is exactly what I deserve after all the hard work that I've put in. This was really, really good stuff. So it looks like our night one of WrestleMania main event is going to be this triple threat, but there is still this lingering possibility out there. I think this segment could have been half the length or a third of the length that it was. They're going to do their entrance thing, especially when they're in Europe, because it's going to get insane reactions, right? But on a 3-hour show, there's just a lot of entrances and singing along. So I was kind of like, let's get the show on the road, boys. But this is interesting, and certainly one of the stories that I think has more of my investment than pretty much anything else on the card so far. What did you think of this contract signing? I liked what we got from all three of them. It's nice to see all three of them under the same roof and doing something meaningful other than a pull apart brawl here. What did you think of what closed out the show and is kind of opening hours?
It was fun. I thought that it was a way to kind of really lay out what is next for them. What little intangibles are you going to throw in, right? Because as of right now, yeah, cool. They don't like each other, right? There's hatred there. There's history there between certain people. All three of them have something that they can talk about, right? Which is great. That's what you want. But even towards the end of that promo where, you know, like CM Punk looks over at Roman and he's like, you know, that's not what I want, basically, right? Like, yeah, leaves everyone guessing. And why is, you know, tribal, the wise man, so like buddy with him, kissing him? There, he's crying in the middle of the ring.
He was gonna propose.
He was, yeah. They were loving. On his knees. they were loving on each other, and I almost called him by his real name. And then you got Roman sitting there, kind of just staring off and smiling like he's part of this. I don't know if maybe because he really wants to piss off Seth, right? But it's cool to see the dynamics. It was very different. You have three pros, you know, as much as I think CM Punk to me sometimes is just, you know, he rubs me the wrong way. In the ring, he's doing his thing. And it was just good to see that all three of them, man, just put something on the table that makes you excited for, because the rest of the show, even for Sunday, there's nothing for me to look forward to. I told you this last week, but I am invested in these guys.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the more compelling stories on the card for sure. Like, I don't have a ton of investment in Jay and Gunther. I thought Jimmy Uso maybe had the best promo of their entire build today. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Cody and Cena is leaving a lot to be desired, and we're kind of getting down the home stretch here. I loved the segment that we got. My only kind of complaint about it is there's a lot more juice with the three of these guys that is not being tapped into. Like, CM Punk has publicly said he's the one that thought of the Shields, right? I don't think we've delved into Seth and Roman's specific relationship enough. It's all been about like stunting CM Punk. WrestleMania is not that far away. There's just not that much time left to tell these other layers. So I was kind of hoping we get to see more of those today. Seth and Roman have a very complex history with each other. CM Punk kind of takes credit in a sense for Tyler Black Seth Rollins coming into to ROH, and he referenced it on Monday. He said, I'm the reason you got to start in this industry, kid. So I really wish there was like a little bit more meat on the bone in that regard. They've got a couple of weeks for it. These guys show up on both shows, so there might be four more appearances or whatever. But I would like them to get into the meat and potatoes of that, because that's really interesting to me. That's really interesting to me. But we've got some more love coming in via Super Chat and Humper Chat. I do have my Humper Chat access back, thankfully. Very happy to have that. But Cyclops is better than Wolverine says, when men were men, we kissed men. I am team let's kiss every time. They do these face-to-faces so much, and they're all like centimeters away. I'm like, just do a little smooch, just a little.
Just get it in it's there.
Right there. Paul Heyman is on his knees. CM Punk's looking through his contract. Heyman's all on his knees. And I was like, he's got a little ring in his pocket. I know it. Just pull it out. And
can you imagine?
It's like, CM Punk, we've been through a lot together. And then Roman Reigns is just like, what? I feel like we haven't had a good wrestling wedding in a while. Paul Heyman and CM Punk walking down the aisle. There you go. But I will say this. I'm very happy for CM Punk to get this, because he came back and got injured so quickly in Rumble. And this is something he's wanted. This is something the fans wanted. It's nice that he's healthy and he's putting on few and far between, but really good matches. The steel cage match with Seth was really good. That match with Sami Zayn that was just on a random Raw, I believe, really, really good. So, like, we're getting to see what he can do. I just, since the man has come back, since AEW, I've been like, the magic is heel CM Punk. Like, that's where it is. And I don't think they want to do that while Cena is heel. So it's going to take a little bit longer, but I like the storytelling that we have for Punk much, much more. Will Chisholm saying, I'm here for this new Naomi, and everything she said was right if people know her story. We're going to talk about that next. But Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. I tried to be positive, but I'm bummed the women aren't getting a main event this year. Happy for Punk, though. I'm in Connecticut, so hopefully the Evolve rumors are true. Love you both. Now, is that Evolve or the Evolution pay-per-view? Because if Evolve has had it, I have not been like keeping very
maybe Evolution. Yeah, maybe.
I thought maybe the Evolution pay-per-view was maybe rumored to be back out that way. But
yeah,
that would but be let me know if I'm Triple wrong. H, let me know.
Batista, right? All of them are coming back together for one night.
There you go.
The Evolution. Am I wrong?
The Women's Evolution pay-per-view.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
They're talking Evolution pay-per-view. Okay. I wanted to know, not your mistake. I just wanted to make sure that I was addressing the correct thing. So, I hope so. I think women's pay-per-views are awesome because it gets to celebrate, it's an opportunity to properly showcase and a very important part of your roster mm-hmm. that doesn't get the due that it deserves on weekly television. Better than that would be giving women the weekly due on television, because through the first part of that other chat, the women not having a WrestleMania main event, unfortunately, feels right because the builds have been so lackluster.
Sure.
It is ridiculous to me that Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and Io Sky doesn't feel like, of course that's main eventing, but they've done a piss poor job building that out. I'm sorry. Like, they can't pick a direction for Rhea Ripley that feels authentic to her. They're doing a championship match on Monday between Io and Rhea again. Like, it's unfair that the reason it feels like Punk, Seth, and Roman should be main eventing is partly because they've done a bad job building out the women's stories. They just haven't been there. Charlotte and Tiffany, we got a good promo from Tiffany tonight. Nothing on the bone there. That match is going to be awesome. I don't doubt it. That match is going to show out. Charlotte does so well with like women that have a gymnastics flair to them. Her mm-hmm. match with Naomi was one of the best TV matches ever, 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 ever. Terrible build. The women's mid-card, don't even get me started. We'll talk about that in a bit, but unfair to them. Unfreaking fair to them. But Naomi is absolutely killing this heel turn. She had the dramatic, but we love dramatic because it's wrestling. Heel turn earlier, a couple weeks ago. But in this vignette, she has this, if you get in my way, proceed with caution line. She's got the caution gear on. Sounds like this is kind of going to be her new tagline going forward. She attacks Meechan and B-Fab from behind before...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So Cardgill makes the save here, and this leads to Charlotte Flair making an entrance for her match, but she is grounded in this heel character. And everything she kind of said was true. She was this inspirational, feel the glow, good gal. She got nothing out of it. I really, really like this direction for her. She needed something fresh. She needed something inspired. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to proceed with caution. That's just me.
Gimmick infringement, bro. He took that from our good friend Owen Hart, who used to wear the caution tape, if you remember that.
That's right.
So I'd like to... on behalf of Owen Hart,
collect some money. I don't think it's infringement.
No tribute. I want to take that money right now. I want to cause some type of ruckus because this episode needs it.
Let's fire it up.
It kind of, you know, it was a good match, right? That led into, all that stuff that led into the. Do you want to talk about Charlotte and Meechan?
Sure. We have Charlotte versus Meechan, and Charlotte wins with the figure eight. This was kind of, like you said, really good match. Meechan is so good, and she's a very clever wrestler,
man. I'll tell you,
she was. She is.
Close my eyes.
I like that Charlotte was in the ring with someone who's as clever as Meechan, because you saw flares of that during this match. Obviously, Charlotte was going to win. Nice to see Meechan fight somebody other than Chelsea Green.
I was just about to say that. That was in my notes, by the way. I was just like, Meechan, new opponent, check.
but this was good. And like, it's kind of fun because these are both two seasoned veterans who can play a little bit of chess with each other, right? So the match was great as well, kind of going into this vignette. I had a lot of fun with it. The crowd was loud, but with football chants. So yes, I don't know if that's a good sign. Like, it says to me that you kind of threw things together for sure. They were more doing football chants actually during the women's tag match a little bit. But I had a lot of fun watching this from an in-ring standpoint. It was kind of just there to give Charlotte another win for sure, though.
Yeah, you know, Meechan is such a unique wrestler, right? She has the look, she can talk, she can wrestle, and she kind of starts to me falling in line with what Chelsea was. Had it all, but kind of had to fight her way to get to where she wanted and to the stature that she's at now, you know. And I do hope that that comes for her, because, you know, it's great to have her on TV. And Freddie always said this, if you're on TV, whether you win, lose, or get jumped, you're on TV. You got written onto television, okay? Because there's 500 wrestlers employed by WWE right now, and that's just on SmackDown. So just to get that little bit of time to be able to get on television is good for us, because we love her, and we love to see her on television doing all the badassery that she does. But and an easy toss-up for Charlotte. Just kind of, you know, this should be her gaining steam moment heading into WrestleMania, but it really wasn't. I kind of felt like it was just a match, right? And that's where, especially since poor Meechan got her booty whooped right beforehand. So you're getting someone who's fighting, you know, an uphill battle.
Sure.
So
that's very fair. I think part of why that suffers is, because the Tiffany Charlotte feud has not been great. We do get a really great Tiffany promo that we'll talk about in a minute here, but like their playbook is cause a disqualification or interfere. And when you're not freshening up that playbook on the way to WrestleMania, what happens is with matches like this with Charlotte, it's like, well, if she doesn't interfere and she doesn't call us a DQ, Tiffany doesn't, then it's just a match. And it's to their detriment that they've gotten so copy paste with their booking that like it does kind of just feel like a match. Like you said, a very good one. Right. But like when was Michin's not winning on television, it does go to service. I always people that watch AEW kind of find struggle with this. I find too, some wins and losses are meant to build character arcs, some are to drive stories. So sometimes when people look at AEW and they say, why did this match even happen?
Yeah,
where's the story? What they're missing is sometimes that's just a part of someone's character arc, like Mercedes Moné picking up wins that are quote unquote meaningless,
right?
Against someone like, say, Anna Jay. Like that goes to serve her uber dominant character. So it creates that character arc. You would hope Anna Jay got more out of it than she did, because she hasn't been really at TV very much since. But Daniel Garcia losing in the C2 a bunch was a character arc. It wasn't a story, but it was a character arc. Some things are storyline driven, right? Certainly, we get our fair share of that. Now in WWE, everything's been very talky. So I would like to see them do a little bit more, but Charlotte just picking up a win to look dominant going into things is her asserting her dominance. So I don't mind that, especially at a 3-hour show, So some love from Tom LaValle saying, showing my love for the Bangs and the Clavicle. You both are amazing people. Sorry to be so reductive to you both, but I only have so many characters. That was incredible. You can look, that's the name of the duo. We're the Bangs and the Clav duo.
That's it. The Bangs and the Clav.
If we were an AM radio show, even an FM one, it'd be like, the Bangs and the Clav, 87.5. Like,
Welcome to the morning Bangs and Clavs, brought to you live by onlyclavs.com. No.
And we would yell about
sports. Yeah.
That's what it would
We would just yell all the time. I would actually like buy
next caller.
You know how like they have like merch for everything? Like, so for Kate, she'll have like Bangs as merch that you can just clip on in front of you. For me, you can get like Clavs that you just kind of put on. Like, that's what will be our merch. And on sometimes when we unite our powers, you'll get Clavs that actually have Bangs on them, so you
just
can
like hairy little clavicles,
like hairy little Clavs.
Hey, speaking of Clavs, I got a bone to pick with you, WWE. Okay,
yeah,
you want to talk gimmick infringement?
Yeah.
You see Raw on Monday, where Cody Rhodes is ripping off the top of his shirt. Alex Plowski was the one that pointed it out on Select. Showing Clavs. Flattering, okay? But, like, that's his thing. That's
yeah,
his
man,
thing.
Man.
I know what direction I'm
in. I mean.
Mailman, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Did you summon the mailman? Because of our Bluetooth ads? Is that what you're talking about?
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Stop trying to look at my penis. No, I'm just kidding. Mailman. All right. Pills. Penis mills. Pills. You can say that. That is the correct term if you were into the medical field. So YouTube, it's perfectly fine. Okay.
Nailed it.
Penis.
Nailed it. Well, if you're
did you watch that show on Hulu or no?
What show?
Penis.
No. I don't know.
Right. I'll send it to you.
Dennis the Penis?
It's actually like Pen 15 or something like that, but when they put it together, it's just...
I love graphic, like silly things like that. I forget what university it was. It must have been like Tennessee or Texas, but they made these mugs much like this.
I like that. That's a giant mug.
Like UNT, but then when you had the C there, it looked like something else.
You're like 5'3", maybe 5'1". You're like right in between there. That's a giant mug. You're not a small person.
Well,
you're
first
not me.
I'm 5'7" and a half.
Oh, you're 5'7". Okay, I'm sorry.
Second of all, here's the thing. I have like 4 oversized mugs, and I keep them at the ready all the time because my Keurig, if you put the most amount of coffee, which is always the most that
always
I want.
The mostest, like, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want it like, ooh, we're just at the top. Like, no, I need some breathing room so I can add my oat milk. And so I can sip. So this one and like 3 other ones I have.
Oh, this is a giant. That's what I'm saying. Like, it almost looked like you could fit your entire head in it, which I was like, okay, that's a giant mug, Kate. Watch your bangs. Watch the bangs. Thankful. Those are expensive.
And I am thankful.
You're thankful. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you're thankful for me here. Hey, yeah, and the mailman too.
Hey, if you're nosy about wrestling news, FightfulSelect.com had a big week for you, especially on the women's free agent front. Mariah May in a contract year. Interesting information there. I can't imagine AEW won't be doing everything they can to retain her, but also Mina Shirakawa finishing up in Stardom, expected to be in AEW as well. Some more context on the Gail Kim firing and how it makes absolutely no sense at all. I can't, like, the number one person you hold on to.
But who owns that company? Who owns the
Anthem.
The TNA? Anthem. Who are they in bed with?
The mailman.
Apparently. I thought they were part of the TKO group as well in my
brain. No.
I don't know why.
Listen. You don't want to hear this information from me. You want to hear it from Sean. So subscribe to Fightful Select and also watch on Wednesdays if you're interested in industry stuff. So that way my paraphrasing of what he says comes straight from him. But there was a really good point that was made by him, and I believe his name is Mike Gilbert. Mike Gilbert 311 on social media, I think. Mm-hmm. TKO, though they bought WWE, is not a merger and acquisition company. They're not like looking to go suck up TNA.
Correct. They're not.
Everything that's valuable about TNA, they have access to right now because they don't really need the library, right? Like AJ Styles is wrapping up. They're not probably not going to be doing like a bunch of video packages with footage of AJ Styles, things like that. Same with AEW, right? Some people were like, what happened to that relationship? It's like, well, Samoa Joe already had his, like, Christopher Daniels is retiring. They don't need that footage. So, like, the library, not really a thing. They're getting access to Jordynne Grace. Now she's signed to WWE, but they had access to her beforehand. They have access to Joe Hendry, and they're not paying these people monthly salaries. Why are they going to buy TNA? They have enough content, right? They are across Netflix. They are across A&E. They are across Tubi. They are across USA. Like, they don't need this, right? So... like the people who were like, oh, these firings happened because they were getting in shape to sell. Anything's possible. It's wrestling. But like, that's not generally the way TKO goes about business. It's just not. But we are going to continue. And by the way, if you are going to buy it, you keep Gail Kim. You keep the woman who will get you conversations with any women's free agent on the market because they want to talk to her. You have someone that is a woman in a leadership role in wrestling, which is incredibly rare, too rare. She can agent matches. She knows what she's doing. She's like the number one person you don't get rid of unless you are extremely silly, which it seems like TNA is being. But guys, get in those super chats and on for chats. We're going to get back to SmackDown talk instead of this TNA talk, but a big week at Fightful Select. You're going to want to be subscribed for WrestleMania week too. There's going to be more and more coming out there. And also we're like getting to Dynasty. All In is going to sneak up on us before you know it. We're already at the end of March. It's crazy. It is crazy.
I can hear Christmas bells ringing.
I know. Get your white girl drinks ready.
Girl, let's go.
We're fast forwarding to the end of the year. Hey, let's quickly talk about these vignettes that we got. We got one for a mystery figure who I can only assume is Aleister Black. And we got confirmation, as reported by FightfulSelect.com, that Rey Fénix is expected to, is going to be on SmackDown barring any insane event. He'll be on WWE programming next week. Fightful Select had reported that he was expected to be coming in, and then also reported that he had officially signed. So some good stuff on that front. Can't wait to see what Rey Fénix can do when he's healthy. He's the best of them. He's really, really incredible. And Aleister Black, he's hit or miss for me, so I'm gonna reserve judgment, but he fills a very specific niche that a lot of people really like, so I'm happy for wrestling in that regard. But your thoughts on either of these vignettes?
Predictable, right? We kind of knew that was going to happen. I mean, before we even could even think of them leaving, we just kind of knew like those two names would pop up there. And listen, I grew up in an era where they had two major companies, right, running side by side. It was always fun to see wrestlers show up in each show. We're kind of almost in that era again where we're seeing, you know, like there's a handful of AEW talent now, if not more than that, over in WWE. So in order for you to say, okay, let's pick that guy up now, because these guys have been in the circuit for many years. This is not their first go around. They're not rookies. They're not Motor City Machine Guns. These guys are actually people who have pretty much been in wrestling for a long time. And now are getting
like Motor City Machine Gun.
And now are getting scoop. Stop. I'm trying to be straight here.
Staffers. CMG.
I'm trying to get.
You know they're right, because the Motor City wasn't even a city until like 15 years ago. So
this is true. This is true. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is the fact that there is value now in these wrestlers.
Yes.
When there wasn't before. So, you know, this is what I love about the community that we have built. We see that, we enjoy that, we talk about it, and we digest that information together in a smart way where we talk about it, right? As opposed to these people who are, this is better and this is better, right? Like, this is just the way it should be. And it's great to see everyone flipping back and forth. It's just dope, man. And I can't wait to see what Ray's going to do now. If he joins forces with, you know, the Lucha Bros get back together in WWE, like, oh my God, it's just so much fun right now.
So I don't want to be pair all the Hispanic talent together, girl. But
that's what we do.
But if Santos Escobar was like, Los Garza ain't doing it for this group.
Sure.
It was like, Rey Fénix, you're my new guy. Yes, please.
Yeah.
If he's like, you know what, Garza's, you can't win. You just haven't won. You've had 900 contenderships because we rotate the same four teams in the SmackDown tag division, right? And I like Rey Fénix and Santos Escobar working together. It intrigues me greatly.
Maybe we'll see Dark Santos. Who knows?
Could be.
Dark Penta, Dark Santos.
I feel like eventually that tag run will, of course, happen with Fénix and Penta again. But I do feel like Penta evolved so much since he's been on WWE programming and was brought in to feel like a very big deal that you kind of can't just like throw his brother into the mix when he's too much of a contender.
But it's cool that they mentioned it today.
That's refreshing.
They were like, hey, you know, he's one half of the, you know, of the Lucha Bros, mm-hmm. who've been pretty much anywhere and everywhere. You know, like it's cool to see that. That makes me happy because wrestling, and I'm gonna end my rant here. Wrestling is the only programming on television that does not acknowledge where other talent come from. Sports worldwide says X came from Miami and now they're here in the Yankees. This is their stats, right? It's so weird to me. It's so weird to me, you know, yet, and you know, AEW tries it, but I don't know who maybe stops them at the table from saying what they should be saying. But like, when, you know, when Edge was on television, you know, 11-time world champion, sure, you acknowledge the fact that he was 11-time world champion. We know where he came from. You're just not saying that other part, which I wish you would just say it. You know, you're not giving free programming. They've been around for 80 years.
We're all very aware.
Come on, man.
Right. We're all very aware that the other companies.
Sorry, guys. I get a little angry because I just want wrestling to be like man.
You're 43, man. You're an old man.
Wow. I cannot believe for the first time in the last 4 years we've been doing this together, you threw that at me, Kate. My resignation will be coming soon.
It better not.
I can't even see the screen anymore, Kate.
We're adding injury time to your
Is that you? Injury time.
Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We're talking some SmackDown. I've said for the past couple weeks that one thing that is sorely lacking across all American television is guys who are just there to beat someone's ass. We have Kevin Owens. Yeah. He's great at that. Eddie Kingston is injured. I miss him every day of my life. I miss him. I miss him like a family member. Like, I need him on my television talking a bunch of shit. Jimmy Uso today, of all people, was not the guy that I thought was going to bring that back, but he kind of did. He gets interviewed. He has a match against The Miz. He gets interviewed by Jackie Redman. And Miz said that he was a side character. And he responds with just like, I'm going to slap you and I'm going to beat your ass. And he does this pump fake and The Miz gets scared away. And he says that he would go to Adam Pearce and get this match made against him. But Jimmy's delivery and the stuff he said was the most like, I want to fight this guy thing in the world that we've seen in so long. And against The Miz, who is kind of a little twerp. Like, the point of The Miz is that, and why he's an effective heel, is that we want to see him get his ass beat, right? And he keeps running away.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Uso being like, they talked about the slap with Gunther, right? The slap heard around the world that Jimmy just slapped the hell out of Gunther, and Gunther kind of like smiled as if he baited him into it. But he was just like, yeah, I'll slap him and I'll slap Miz and I'll beat the hell out of whoever crosses my path. Like, and my brother's going to win at WrestleMania and like, he had the most energy and certainty about beating someone's ass than I have heard on this program in a long time. And it is of the detriment to them that maybe the best promo in this whole build is Jimmy Uso's promo to help out his brother. They need to give Jay something interesting to say other than nobody believes I can do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's not Jimmy Uso's fault.
He's Big Jim, baby.
But Big Jim.
Big
coming
Jim.
Coming out with some fire. I like seeing that. I want to see more of that. That is good.
Yes.
Stuff. And then we get this match between Big Jim and The Miz. And Jimmy Uso wins with the Uso splash. Jimmy is really, really good. Like, yeah. I don't even want to say this because I don't mean this as like a
no, you swipe say it. You say it right now.
Well, I don't want people to be like, she's shaming.
I don't think you're amongst the people that will not say that. So, which is good. You're a professional journalist, Kate.
I am more compelled by Jimmy Uso singles matches than most people right now, like with the in-ring work he's doing. And unfortunately, that includes his brother. But that's also because of the way that they're building to WrestleMania. They have given Jimmy Uso one dominant win over Austin Theory, who has not won on WWE television since August. And that was when him and Grayson Waller beat the Awesome Truth. So that tells you how that has been. Like, that win doesn't mean anything because Austin Theory has been booked to be a joke. And also, it wasn't Jey Uso's best showing, unfortunately. He screwed up twice. And then they worked in those screw-ups to be a part of the story. So when I see Jimmy Uso come out here and whip ass against The Miz and put on the matches that he's been putting on, I'm like, what is this guy doing at WrestleMania? Because if he's in the Andre the Giant SmackDown pre-show battle royal, whatever the fuck, that's going to suck because this guy has been one of the more consistent workers on SmackDown. I haven't loved that it's been kind of aimless, like it would be randomly with Jacob Fatu and then Braun or whatever. Like there hasn't been a lot of trajectory, but he is killing it right now on SmackDown. I love seeing that for him. I loved what we got out of Jimmy Uso tonight, and it's kind of been the surprise of this build to Mania for me, quite frankly.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on this. You know, with everything that's happening with Big Jim, I felt like he unfortunately has been left a couple steps behind. And, yeah. You know, I think I'm getting behind him more because of it, you know, as his brother kind of gets the huge entrances and he's dancing it up with the people and all this stuff, because it's going to be harder when that all comes crashing down than it is for Big
Jim. When it comes crashing down, yeah, you know, it'll bring it. Hurt yeah. inside.
Please sorry. No. Oh, God. We just got flagged. is this for racism? No, I'm just kidding.
Let's be abundantly clear. F that guy.
Yeah.
The theme, the theme like, lives in your...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. makes me want to rip my shirt and show my clabs.
Hey!
But when it comes to Big Jim, man, I'm like... You know, he's here right now. He's clawing. He's fighting. He's trying to find where he fits in. What storyline is going to be better for him? You know, like having to see your brother kind of be up here, even though you're happy for him, you're kind of stuck in this weird limbo. And I'm gravitating towards, I'm kind of like leaning more towards him than I am for, you know, for Jay.
I love this from Clown because I think I was talking to Alex about this, and a lot of people have said this, that Gunther is going to make Jimmy Apollo Creed next week, and Jimmy won't even be at Mania. Here's the thing that sucks.
Oh.
That's the right thing to do for the story. It's the right thing to have Jimmy, who's looked so good and so confident and slapping Gunther, get the absolute dog crap kicked out of him. Because then when Jay beats Gunther, it'll pack even more punch, right? And this build needs it desperately. What sucks about that is Jimmy's great. He deserves to have his own story. So I hope he gets some shine. I think it might be interesting if he weaves his way into the new Bloodline story. Like it would be kind of cool. But that just doesn't feel like it's going to happen in the next couple weeks. Maybe WrestleMania Backlash, maybe in the SummerSlam build or something, but like he deserves to have something to do on his own.
I agree. Yeah.
Cyclops is saying Grandpa's getting grumpy. Get him some prune juice. God. Get How some prune juice, guys. Alex.
I don't do the prune, but I'll do some mango, and it has to be organic.
Mango?
Yeah, man. Okay. I'm on the island. Mango, coconut. Oh, put it all together.
I love that for you.
Refreshing.
I love that for you. Guys, get in those super chats and those humper chats. We are working our way through SmackDown. Your Collision show will be on at a normal time, which is really refreshing. You guys will have that tomorrow. No pay-per-views competing with it. No PLEs in the way. So some good stuff there. Mercedes Moné having her first, I guess her second Collision match, because Grand Slam Collision was, but like kind of more routine. Her first AEW Collision appearance. Some exciting things that look to be heating up there with Athena, which is a match that everybody has asked for. Keep tuned for Sean Ross Sapp's Raw post show as well. He'll be back at it on Mondays. He's been doing that show solo. He's been having a good time with it. You guys have been very supportive of that format. So Meet Norm is saying, I'm working late, but wanted to show some love to the SGS and Bang/Clavs Collective.
That
was snack time. Show me some clavs. I had my vegan tendies today, so I'm a very
wow. Happy. What does that consist of?
They're just plant-based tenders, so usually that's beans or tofu or some other protein stuff smushed together. I think these ones were These ones were impossible attendees, so it's what impossible meat is.
Careful with those. Those have ginormous amounts of salt.
Well, I'm a salty little bee, so.
As an old man, I gotta watch out. The only salt I like are those from the wrestling fan tiers.
Oh, hey!
When I post something up that they don't like. Sorry. I take it back.
You don't have to apologize.
You're right.
You don't have to apologize.
I take it back.
They're going to always be mad about something. That is
always be mad.
For dang sure. Let's talk some women's tag match here. Nice to see Katana and Kayden Carter in action. We get Katana, Chance, and Kayden Carter against the Secret Service, Alba Fire, and Piper Niven. We have the Secret Service winning, of course. I didn't put the finish in, so I apologize. But do I have that right? They won, right?
What are we talking? Wait, which one? I'm looking at my notes now.
The women's tag match.
Oh, the women's tag team match
versus Katana and Kayden.
Scrolling myself. Give me a second. Yes, winners. The Secret Service.
There Piper you go. Niven, making sure.
And former,
I think Piper got the pin, right?
Alba Fire. Yeah, Niven hits the Carter with a Piper driver for the win.
The Piper driver. That's what it was. That's what it was.
See, guys, I still write my notes with a pencil and notebook. Respect that. God.
Old man.
Just kidding.
Old man over here. That's right. It was the Piper driver for the win. That was.
Why did she just, guys, in the chat, please, did she just, did you think I wasn't going to tell you the truth, Kate?
No, I was just remembering.
Guys, can you please hit that thumbs up on here?
Yeah, please do hit a thumbs up. The TikTok gals are still a thing. Former tag champions, in fact.
The TikTok gals.
This story is very confusing because we had Zelina Vega trying to contend. She does have a vignette that says, you guys ganged up on me to win. Like, this was not a fair fight. It's a weird way to go about business to try and build up someone's contendership through losses. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But this tag match was fun. Always good to see women's tag action on the show as well. Doesn't feel like it's headed anywhere near a tag program. It would be cool if Piper and Alba were a part of some four-way. But the women's tag titles still feel like they're kind of ailing into Mania. I know there's a lot of Liv Morgan fans that are upset about that, and they should be. We'll see what comes out of this. Nikki Cross also posted a little Wyatt 6 teaser. So maybe her and Alexa Bliss are gearing up for something. I don't know. But usually that goes the way of like a tag four pack kind of thing at Mania. Certainly feels like it might be Lyra and Bayley teaming up, which is not a great use of your women's mid-card, but this match was fun. I just feel like we're probably still in a space, Alex, where Piper and Alba Fire are more Chelsea's protection than they are kind of their own tag team.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's...
What do you think of our match where you got to see one of your spooky Scottish witches in
action? I'm sad that there's only half, so I'm half as happy. So the other half is sad. No, I'm just...
There are two wolves inside of me. One is for Isla Dawn and one is for Alba Fire.
All of me's for Isla Dawn. Just saying. Hey, I love her. It is what it is. I don't know, you know, it's great that I'm seeing Piper on television. It's great that I'm seeing her wrestle, but I want her from the get-go, and I've been telling you this for a long time, Kate. I want her to be like an awesome Kong, badass, beat the ship out of all women in that get in her way and take over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting a little bit tired of the like wonky, whatever this is, old school WWE type of gimmicks, right? Like, I understand Chelsea's, you know, she's like the president. Like, you know, I understand she needs security. That's cool. But maybe with someone else, you know, like.
Or like, it feels like it's inevitable that Piper turns on her at some point. Right?
I would
like
hope so, man. Cause yeah. Other than, honestly, the match was like, fine. But other than that, like, that's what, every time I see her on television, I ask myself why.
Sure. Sure.
Because she's such a badass, dude. And if I don't want, for you people that don't get it, like, not here, I'm just saying, like, in general, if you're listening to this later on, like, watch her matches, man. You know, like.
Yeah, she could have very easily gotten a similar push to Nia Jax, right? Like, yeah. And she's been doing great work for a very long
time. Yes. Exactly. There we go. Yeah, there you go. You took the words out of my mouth. And yeah, now Nia Jax herself is like. But,
a little bit MIA. She's had a heck of a run, though. I will say that.
She like, most definitely did. Respect on that.
I would love for Piper to turn on Chelsea. I think it could be fun if Chelsea just starts like being more buddy-buddy with Alba and we start to see that resentment build. WWE still has this propensity to say, if you're funny, you can't be anything else, unfortunately. Like, so I would like to see them get out of the mud with that. There is a young lady in NXT named Zarya right now, who I think her and Piper are destined to be fighting for a very long time. So I they've crossed paths in NXT. I would love to see that happen on the main roster sooner than later, because Zarya don't need much polish. Her presentation is pretty spot on. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. But guys, keep those super chats and humper chats coming. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video. Some good stuff on SmackDown. Some highs, some lows, some laughing, some crying. It's 9:15 and we're halfway through this episode.
I'm gonna
tamper about that. Some good stuff. But we have a tag team championship match as well on the men's side. We get the Street Profits defeating Pretty Deadly, whose full theme we got to hear. I know you love some Pretty Deadly, but they lose to the Doomsday Blockbuster. Great win for Montez and Angelo. This was a fun one. This was a really, really fun match. I enjoy their dynamic because when the Street Profits had first kind of turned heel with Bobby Lashley, I was very impressed by Montez Ford's ability to translate a very fun and easy to root for ring style into something that worked as a heel that could make you want to boo him, because he's so damn exciting to watch. I don't want to boo him, but he did a really good job. I feel like that was also the case here. And even though Pretty Deadly kind of is like, they've been heels, they've been faces, like it's a little bit murky with them. They're always fun and you're always kind of rooting for them even when you're not. They're pretty much faces right now. They've been like on the opposed side of DIY for a bit, right? So feels like this was a good face and heel matchup, even if they're not like full-fledged faces with Pretty Deadly. Like, you want to root for these guys. They're super fun. They're really good in the ring. They have a playfulness to them that not all of the other teams on SmackDown have. So I felt like as far as cementing the Street Profits as being kind of vicious and angrier, and more aggressive in this new attitude, like Pretty Deadly is a pretty fun dance partner for them in a sense. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, it was good that there wasn't any interference. There wasn't any, you know, craziness going on. I got to see a great match between the Street Profits, who are on fire and rightfully so, finally getting, you know, that shine. Not that they didn't get it before, but I really like what they're doing right now. This is fun. This is what I want. And, you know, Pretty Deadly. This match to me was probably the most like serious I could take them in a while, because they've just kind of been, you know, been lackeys for this, or, hey, I'm going to do that for you. You know what I'm saying? Like backstage shenanigans. Like, this was fun. This was fun. I from front to end, this is a tag team match that I honestly enjoyed. And they haven't all been that crazy as of late, especially with different teams jumping in and this one costing this one because, you know, they have beef. Like, we finally got a damn match between two tag teams, bell to bell.
Plus, like, Motor City Machine Guns are just so green. You know, it's, they have a lot of promise.
Tell you what, I'm going to just lay it out here right now. There could be a time where we can probably get Motor City to kind of maybe take a trip down to LFG and see what they can do and get some, you know, time with Undertaker and whoever else is on that show.
And learn something.
Learn, you know, legends and future greats.
And they you are.
You could be a future great. I can live on this bit for a while. If you guys
want to. That's it. These rookies.
Sincere
note, on Tuesday, Motor City Machine Guns made an appearance, and it would actually be, if they're not going to do a ton on the main roster, and people might complain about this usage for them, but like an NXT tag run is something that Alex and I were talking about on Tuesday, because they could, those are like the guys that you want to learn from as far as like new age tag teams, and the NXT tag division is very, very young, like very, very young, and could use some sincere, like, working with those guys, getting helped out by those guys. And that could be a really fun tag run if you're not going to do anything with them on the main roster. But we'll see. We will see what's to come. We got some more love coming in from you guys. Will Chisholm saying he's ready for Rey Fénix.
Hell yeah,
I'm glad they said him and Penta are brothers. Yep, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. And not the lost son of Rey Mysterio, I guess.
The lost son. If this was the old guard, you 100% would have had that storyline going. Trust me. You would have had a feud between Dominic. Yes. Yes. You would have had the biggest feud between Dominic versus Rey. Who's my daddy?
Well, man.
Rey Mysterio on a pole match. And whoever grabs him first,
that's right.
That's his dad.
Bro. We'll also say Malachi Black.
She said, bro. We're gonna get in trouble.
Just gonna skate by the rest of that. But Will Chisholm saying Malachi Black going to be way high with all that smoke. Now listen,
yo,
Malachi Black, Aleister Black coming back and just being a stoner when everyone's expecting him to be like ambiguous, spooky. What did he call himself? The devil with amnesia, like who didn't remember why he was evil, just that he is evil. If he just came back as a stoner, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. He's in a faction called the Hotbox.
That's funny. I don't know what they're gonna do with him, man. Like, I don't know.
We'll see, man.
Yeah,
I don't know either. I don't know either. Certainly seems like he's gonna be parked out on SmackDown. That's kind of the only thing that we know for sure, but
yeah.
We get Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. Drew wins with the Claymore. Shock of the century, Kevin Owens interferes. However, I'm always here for Kevin Owens being on my screen, so I will take it. But I said this earlier, like, you look at a match, we're going to talk about the men's US title match later.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at a card right now, I can say that match is ending in a DQ, that one's ending in an interference. Like, I've been dead on about that for at least 3 weeks in a row. And you're doing a disservice to your talent, and you're making the stories really boring going into WrestleMania when they're all the same. Like, it shouldn't be that formulaic in general. Be more creative. You're called to creative department, and it definitely shouldn't be that formulaic going into WrestleMania. But I love Kevin Owens. And honestly, part of why I was so annoyed by this finish was these two were cooking. Like, I wanted to see more of this. Like, I wanted to see what we were getting from these guys. Like, I liked the chemistry that they had, and it getting cut short kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, I'm with you. It has felt, you used the right word, formulaic, kind of like baby steps, trying to like see what could come out of it instead of just boom, let's just go in and make something great. You know, like, you know, you still got almost less than a month until Mania. So you could definitely like set a fire right now and just go and make a ginormous blowout match at Mania, make Mania feel like this match at Mania feels so big, right? Throw it in a Hell in a Cell if you have to. Whatever.
I think we will probably have some sort of stipulation with these two because it's just too damn personal. But right. Randy Orton using the punt is going to be the big moment.
Of
so
course,
we'll,
right.
We'll see.
Maybe a Punjabi prison match.
I'm going to guess no.
No?
I'm going to guess no on that.
No. That was my take, but I guess I'm wrong now.
I'm going to... If I had to place bets on it, I would not be going to Bet Online AG and being like, it's probably going to be a
if you go to Bet Online AG and you randomly see Punjabi prison match on there,
the do not
hit me up
of it Alex Cardoza. Post-match, we get Drew getting attacked by Damian Priest in the parking lot, who slams him on a car windshield with the South of Heaven.
My God.
Was it real glass is the big question.
Was it a real car?
Was it a real car? It was just boxes spray painted to look
like. Dude, that's some good CGI.
Will saying, Drew crying, well, there's glass in my eye while Punk walks by and looks at the camera, popped me. Yeah, he definitely gave a little smirk to the camera, which was cute. But I feel like Drew and Damien are trying their asses off with this angle. I just think they deserve to be given a little bit more meat on the bone with this.
Yeah, there's the physicality's there. But yes. What is surrounding the physicality? Because WWE is very story driven, right? They said this, we're a soap opera, we're not a wrestling company. So I'm waiting for that like big plot, you know, what's cooking with between these two. So far, they've just been beating the crap out of each other, and I'm here for that because I love fighting. But yeah, at the end of the day, you're not even telling that story in the ring. You're kind of just having these, you know, like anger issues being taken out on each other outside of the ring, right? Like I want you to be able to kind of like tell me more than what you've already kind of given. Yeah, we have had promos, but they haven't been, like you mentioned, they haven't been meat heavy. I know you don't like meat, maybe cauliflower heavy, right? Like there's something.
Men, meaty men slapping meat is not a byproduct of animal suffering. Even as a vegan, I support meat matches for sure.
Okay. But
this is kind of what I'm noticing about all these builds. They reference the history of the cash-in moment, right? Which is great. And they talk about Drew being a crybaby, which is great because of all the crybabiness. Which is true.
Yeah.
And with all the crybabiness of the bloodline. But then it just stops there. Like, I've noticed that's been the case with a lot of these WrestleMania stories, is it's like everybody gets one or two things, and then it just stops there.
Yep.
And I want evolution. Like, we're going to talk about Cody Rhodes in a second, and the beginning of the show, and how Randy Orton gave this promo that the crowd loved, but my God, if it wasn't about him leaving and coming back, like, how many times are we going to go to that well? Like,
agreed.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So I just wish that people were given more than one or two bullet points to try and build an entire thing off of. Like, it's not fair to them. But we do get this Tiffany Stratton promo, which I think is something that she desperately needed. She gives a really, really solid delivery and just says that Charlotte Flair has more to lose in their match. And she's still going to walk out as champion at WrestleMania 41. Not like a ton of new information, but just nice to see her fired up and kind of pointing out that, like, if Charlotte loses to her, like, what is her comeback all for? Like, I thought that was some good stuff. And it was nice to see her just feel more comfortable in her delivery for this bit. What did you think of this pre-tape we got from Tiff?
She's grown on me. I wasn't a big fan of hers. I was kind of waiting to see when she won the title. That's when I think I started to like say, let me see what they're going to do with it, because I want to make sure that when I invest my time into what she's doing and the storylines that she's going to provide for us, that she's going to be long term. Like, I want her to be long term. And
yeah,
God, seeing, future stars, for seeing sure. Charlotte there makes me so nervous. You know, so she's doing, man, she's pulling things out. She's doing great. Her promos are so damn good. Maybe I don't even want to say it's because of Charlotte. I think she's just been like on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, Tiff has really evolved into this wrestler that we can get behind of. And the reason why I say that is because I wasn't before. And I know a couple other people that I watch wrestling with, or we speak behind the scenes about this stuff. And, you know, she's a very pretty woman. So, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of the time you get the, you know, like she's being put on TV and presented because she's, you know, good looking and blah, blah, blah. But every wrestler is. But, you know, like what outside of that are we going to see, you know? And then when she won the title, I'm like, oh, there's one, you know? And she's checking every box after that. Her promos, her in-ring skills. Her in-ring skills have always been phenomenal, by the way. But I'm just saying, like, being
they get
now,
better. They get better.
They have gotten better. Yes, sure. Exactly. And she's proven, man, that she can go. Like, she's one that I believe, like, if you were to, you know, the women in AEW, they fight, they draw blood, they're just crazy, right? They just do it because that's what they do there. I think Tiff is to the point where if you were to put her in that environment where you were like, hey, man, you're going to go out there, you're going to have a street fight. You know what I'm saying? Man, I feel like she has that in her now. For some reason, I didn't think that before. And I think maybe it was just the character was not that, right?
But well, what's kind of funny is in NXT, they seem to have this. It's not a rule, and it's certainly not something that like we have reported is. But they definitely try people on as faces and heels in NXT before they get called up.
Right.
Like they want to see what you could do in both of those roles. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's bad. Like Lexus King, they tried this like 6-week face run and that guy's just a heel. Like that's just who he is. Bron Breakker, he was a face most of the time. And when they turned him heel and now he feels comfortable as a tweener, it seems like we didn't know that. Like we didn't know that he had a better heel side to him or a better tweener rather than how he was booked as a face. So like, There's good and bad with it. Tiffany was really pretty much a heel the entire time she was down there. Yeah. So I think being a face is new territory for her.
Yeah.
But I think she's finding the line between, because she was just such a brat as a heel, of being able to have fire, but not be such a baby face. Like she doesn't have to be so squeaky clean all the time. She's finding now, like tonight, I think we saw some fire and some edge to her.
That
was a little less textbook. So I'm excited for that too. And you're right. She's a future star for sure. She's a future star.
Yeah. I guess that's the word I was looking for. There's an edge. There's more of an edge now to her. And this is why I made the reference where if you were to put her in a situation where you're like in a, you know, in a woman's street fight where you're like, it's, you know, flight or die, you're going in. And I believe that now I see that character having that as before it was more of a chicken shit heel kind of run away or find ways around to not be, you know, get herself into a situation where she needs to, you know, be at that insane physicality level. Now she's just, man.
She's off and running. Well, someone who should be off and running and isn't, as Jay Stone points out, is Carmelo Hayes. He says, Melo being subjected to the Miz's lackey is extremely disappointing. He had arguably just as good, if not a better NXT run than Braun. He can't even get in on this messy U.S. title scene going on into Mania. Him and Andrade, I don't understand the usage of. They value The Miz, so I can't say it's like they're writing Carmelo off, but Carmelo Hayes' ceiling versus what they're giving him are an egregious mismatch. It's such a disservice to that guy. And when you see the build that Braun got and you see the build that Carmelo is getting, it is inexplicable to me. And we talk about it week over week, so I'm sorry to be a broken record about it. But this being what you have for Carmelo Hayes makes absolutely no sense.
I don't think you're being a broken record because I say this every single week. And until you guys, not you guys, but there's people out there who are going to listen to this and do whatever they do behind the scenes when they listen to it. But you're boxed in. He's been boxed in. Unfortunately, after that 7 series that he had, there has been no ceiling for him to break through.
Yeah. I agree.
There has been none. There's a couple of people that you've seen now. Him, Andrade, who else? Santos. There's a lot of wrestlers that are completely now in a certain box, and that's where they'll stay, and they'll be added to matches. They'll be part of some storyline that'll make you think, holy hell, it's happening, and then right back down. Because with Carmelo, we've seen that. We were up. Then he had all those losses. You remember, he was just losing all the time. And then he was up again. And oh my God, he got this amazing victory. And here we are. We just plateaued. We're hanging out with The Miz. And this is where we're at.
I couldn't agree with you any more than I do, Carter.
I'm not being negative. I'm seeing it as someone who's a huge freaking wrestling fan, and I love watching it, studying it, learning, asking questions. And unfortunately, Carmelo, who could be on my TV, like you said, like a Braun Breaker, doing whatever it takes to be. I mean, you saw his presentation at NXT. So
I was going to say, I am being negative because I've seen what happens when this guy is given like, a little bit of leash. Like I'm not being negative for the sake of being negative, but I saw this guy carry the NXT brand through the weirdest booking time. That 2.0 era was bad. NXT was bad. Some people liked it because it was the Wild Wild West. You didn't know what was going to happen. Extremely gimmicky characters. It was bad. To review it, it was bad. I watched it every Tuesday. It sucked. Okay? I'm sorry. If you liked it, good on you. But to review it and try and make sense of it as a wrestling reviewer and fan, it was a bad product. The two bright spots, arguably three. You could throw Tiffany in there as a bright spot, but they had her doing some really dumb stuff in the beginning, were Carmelo Hayes and Braun Breaker. You looked at those two and you said, they're your future. Braun Breaker is a multi-time IC title champion who looks unbeatable and is getting to show out week after week. Carmelo Hayes is hanging out with The Miz. Ridiculous.
And it's, you don't have different booking teams. It's the same guy backstage calling the show. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got different writing teams.
Okay. So they do have, right. They have writing teams because, you know, you don't want the same people being burnt out. But what I'm trying to say, ultimately, when things get handed to the next person who makes the yays or nays,
sure, there's one guy making the final decision,
right? So at the end of the day, man, like, whether we're just like sitting here and, you know, they're saying, hey, listen, your time is going to come too, blah blah blah, you know, like, we have a lot going on, whatever, we don't know that, but what we're seeing and what we're presented with, it makes us upset, not, you know, makes us sad that we're not seeing him. And I also understand that not everyone could be a damn superstar. Not everyone needs to be in the top of the card, right?
He is,
but right.
Like he's a,
thank you.
Yeah. If you give him an inch, he will take a mile.
They give
him a freaking centimeter.
He reminds me of the opportunity that Swerve got. Okay. The opportunity that Swerve got. Swerve.
And they have a perfect playbook because, and this doesn't have to do with the fact that they are both black men that are portraying heels.
Oh yeah. I don't even see that. Yeah.
They are, in my opinion, similar types of heels where they're not your chicken shit heel. They're the guys that are so damn good and you hate them because they back it up, but they know they're that damn good.
Yeah. I agree.
That's like when Swerve is his best, and it's not these like overarching dramatic promos. It's just the cockiness, and the thing that makes you hate them is they're right.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that guy. Everybody's praying for that guy's downfall. Everybody's praying for that guy. Everybody's waiting for LeBron to suck. It's coming true a little bit. But everybody's waiting for that guy's downfall. Everybody, how many times do we get the push this person, they're finally pushed, they're overrated. That's all of wrestling. Like, that happens all the time. So they have this whole path that they could walk down and they just refuse to. And it's maddening.
Yeah.
Guys, two more segments to talk about. Get in those super chats and humper chats. We do have a regular rhythm of programming coming up, which is nice. These European dates are coming to an end soon. So we'll be back on at our normal time sooner than later. Your Collision Post show will be also at a normal time. No more NCAA. Actually, am I wrong about that? Is Collision on at a normal time? I have to find out. But we will have a Collision Post show for you this week. I know that much. I know that much because we got Mercedes Moné stopping by. So going to be a good episode. They've done a really, really good job of building those out to make that show feel more important, which is important. Like there was a while there where it just felt like extra show with no direction. And now It's got some juice to it, but let's talk about LA Knight versus Braun Strowman, which that was the one when I looked at the card today that said that's going to end in a no contest. Because, yeah, of course, Jacob Fatu is going to come out and attack Braun Strowman. He also attacks LA Knight in this. The match gets thrown out because Jacob Fatu feels like he earned it. He's pretty at the end of his rope with Tama Tonga too, and Solo. Like, he is mad that they interfered in his booking last week, like that they were a part of kind of costing him this, the possibility of getting a contendership match. And so those seeds of dissension are there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly feels like we can be moving on from Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman now. Like, I don't think we need to run that back anymore. But Jacob Fatu is such a main eventer that it feels like he's so inevitable, I guess, that it's like you got to keep him in title pictures, I feel like, sooner than later. Maybe at the end of this WrestleMania cycle, but by SummerSlam, this guy should be heated up as a contender for something. He does say that he's intending to win the U.S. title and bring it back to the family. So, like, he's doing a good job of saying, like, I have my eye on gold, which is great. But you knew what the outcome of this match was going to be, so that's what we got. Braun Strowman's doing really well serving his role since he's come back, which is like big guy who makes other talent look good, but looks menacing himself in the process. He's doing great with that. LA Knight will just be perpetually over no matter what they seem to do with him, which good for him. But you knew which way this was going to go. It went that way. I'm excited to see what's next for Jacob Fatu, but like, let's get there sooner than later.
This match I could have done without. I'm sorry.
We've done this dance, right? Like, that's, yeah, kind of where
God, you know, like, I want Jacob Fatu to not be doing what he's doing right now. Number one. That's it. Are you
just fight Solo already, or are you like move on to something else entirely?
I'm even tired of the whole Solo bit. Like, I think that they should just have a blow off, slap him around a little bit, and that's it. And just end things and go, right? Just don't even have a match. Just like beat the crap out of him. Like, that's it. Like, I want Jacob Fatu to feel and look like such a menace, right? Like, you shouldn't have to be jumping people. You should be standing on your own two feet. There's no reason to interfere in other people's matches. You should be able to just do you, right? Because that's who you are. You're a menace, right? That's what I want him to be booked as. So, unfortunately, I'm so lost when it comes to him, what they're going to do with him, what they're doing with Solo, what are they going to do with, you know, why is, like you mentioned, Braun is just now just kind of in the wave, doing his thing, you know. LA Knight, yeah, he's awesome, but like, can we also move things along with him? Like, I guess I'm getting impatient with a lot of different things that are happening in that mid-card picture, and I don't know, I don't want to feel that way, right? Because I don't want to be critical. I want to kind of see, and I've said this before, that this new year, I said it right before the new year, right in our last episode, I said this year I'm gonna let people cook more. I'm gonna see what they're gonna do instead of like jumping on them. See what they're gonna do, what I want now. So, but I'm also like losing patience and steam on just kind of sitting here.
In the same way that I felt like AEW for a while had one story that was, and I see you in the chat. We'll read that Humper chat in a second. In AEW for a while there, I was just like, every story was about waiting for your friend to turn.
Same.
Like, every story in AEW was like, is he going to make the right decision or the wrong decision? They were running that same play. Like, but I'm not even kidding. Like, between 4 and 5 stories across the company is too much. In WWE right now, we don't have that via story, but we have it via playbook, where it's like, this person is injected into this feud to further this or whatever. And they'll like be like, this is the story. And then they go like steps A, X, Y, and Z. And they don't really do like, there's nothing interesting happening on B, C, D, E, F, and the rest of the alphabet. Like, they just are kind of like, these are the two things that happen in the story. And there's not weekly progression, and that makes it really tedious. That makes it tedious. And on the road to WrestleMania, it has felt lackluster because it's just very, very basic storytelling. And it's like, it's just stuff that we see all over the place on this product. Like some things a DQ, some things an interference ending, right? Like it's sure. All everybody using a different talent to elevate their own story, and that's it, kind of. Yeah. But Vance Windblade saying the BCC returns once more to talk about stuff and things. I think that's probably in relation to Collision. He says, I come not to talk about wrestling, but bring a warning about severe weather. Sunday is going to be bad, y'all. The same area that guy hit 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks again, is under the gun. Again, check the SPC outlook. Well, there you go. Be warned. You've been warned.
You've been warned. Bad weather, man. It's that time of the year. Warmer spring. Weather means crazy storms, you know?
Yeah, like some parts of the country are going to be buried in snow, and then other parts are going to be like 65 degrees. It's getting
weird. I'm in the 90s, so there's that.
All right, Mr. Short Sleeves. Relax.
Can I be honest? The only reason why I wear a sweatshirt like on the show a lot of the times is because when they built this house, like they built it with like all the new ways of insulating the slab and the everything, right? And so when at nighttime it gets a little cooler and I don't have the heat on or anything like that, right? The house stays cooler inside, right? So in the morning, then it stays like everything stays inside insulated. So unless I don't open up the windows to let the cold air out and the hot air in,
you're freezing.
It's the total opposite. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool, you know, because then they're in the summer when I turn on the air conditioning,
it stays
freezing. Yeah.
Sticks around.
Yeah.
We love that for you.
You should move down here. Be my neighbor. The house next door is for sale.
You buying it for me?
I mean, if you know, I don't want to drop any names on the ground with who I'm working with.
Whoa. Let's close out our show with the beginning, which is Cody Rhodes coming to the ring for his promo. Crowd is nuts for it, of course. And he goes to address his match with Big Match John at WrestleMania, but Orton interrupts basically immediately. He says that he's proud of the wrestler Cody's become. And he says, I know that John Cena is focused on the 17th title, but I want to get my hands on number 15. So I'm coming for you after I'm done with Kevin Owens. And Drew McIntyre interrupts and says that he is going for the WWE title. Get some nice European comments in there. Luis Capaldi, by the way, in the audience today, living it up. Some fun references with him and Drew tonight. But and he says that Orton he's going for the WWE title, and that he told Randy Orton Kevin Owens might be right about him. And Rhodes and Orton try to attack McIntyre, but McIntyre retreats. Kind of sets up what we get later from McIntyre in the show. But really well delivered promo by Orton. Probably shouldn't be better than the stuff that John Cena's been saying the past couple of weeks. I honestly felt like it kind of was. I am tired of Cody, we're so proud of you. You went away, you made something like enough. But to do it in Europe, to be Randy Orton doing it, but like bring up legacy. That's my thing. Bring up the fact that they were in a stable together, because that speaks to their relationship a little bit more strongly. But he puts Cody over as a workhorse for sure. I'm just kind of tired of everyone in the company being so proud of Cody, except Kevin Owens, who hates him.
And crying. Nuts. And his dad and the watch and the tattoo. Everything else.
It's
been like 4 years that he's been here now. Can we like, I would like, I am so sorry that I talked when you were talking. I'm just.
No, you're good.
It just I'm very passionate about this. You know this. I'm like, why can't we just switch things around? Why are we still crying and being sympathetic? Like, he's the champion, dude.
That's kind of where I'm at of like, we know he went away and made something of himself. He's now made something of himself in this company. Like, we can all stop patting him on the back for it. Will's saying it's funny how the UK fans love Cody, aka the American Nightmare, but they Love that guy. I think Cody really does. He does the babyface alley very, very well for the type of babyface that he is. It's just not always my favorite type of babyface.
Yeah.
But like every arena he goes into, he's massively, massively over. He continues to be a top merch seller. I'm just the like aw shucksness of it all. It's like he's been champion for a long time now. Like we don't need to keep being like, we're so proud of you, Cody. Like, yeah, of course. Like, why are we still talking about his road to get here? Like, let's talk about like John Cena was barely talked about tonight. Like,
yeah.
It's so weird that he wasn't like if Randy Orton had come out here and said, nobody's had more battles with John Cena than I have, man. Nobody. Like we've been in the company for the same amount of time. We've done dance after dance after dance, and you've got a hell of a battle ahead of you, man. You really do. But the type of champ that you are, the battles I've seen you go through, the way you took it to Kevin Owens, I know you can beat John Cena, and I know I'm going to go beat Kevin Owens. Like, to me, that's a better way to go about things. But the crowd was super hot for it. I'm glad Randy Orton is getting to do this. Honestly, I'm more intrigued by Orton and Kevin Owens than a lot of things on this card. Like they're just two of my favorites, and I'm looking forward to that so much. But what did you think of how we opened the show as we close out ours tonight?
Yeah, same as like I told you before. Like they all seem to blend with each other. All the promos that he does, you know, I think the only time that we saw like Cody be any different was when he was getting his ass beat by The Rock, you know, and that was it. Like there was kind of like a little bit more anger, like there was something there, you know, like
I liked a lot of the KO feud. I liked a lot of that.
The KO too. Yeah, so those blended in together because they were different, right? Because there was anger involved in it. It's not
Kevin Owens hated him so much.
Yeah, it's not the aw chucks of it all when it comes to like every opponent has to have respect for the great Cody. Oh, you know, like sorry about the freaking extra sound effects, everyone. But I don't want to see that. I want to see exactly that. I want to see like KO, like that type of anger, like go into the ring, sure, slap the crap out of him, and tell him like, yo, wake up, you're the damn champion. That's it. Yeah. You shouldn't have to be praised. You shouldn't have to be coming into the ring. Oh, we're so proud of you. Let me, you know, like just.
I'm just tired of them being proud of him for the whole journey part of it and not the champion he's been for the past year.
Right. That's like, what I'm saying. Yes.
Randy Orton could have said, like, I saw what you did with Gunther. I fought Gunther too, and I knew what that looked like. I had to fight him again because the referees were up.
I don't know. Maybe. And I've been called the Cody hater and all this stuff. It's not that I hate.
Are you an anti Cody crybaby?
It's just that I'm an pretty much. I'm the anti Cody crybaby lover. And, you know, I always said what you didn't, you know, there's too much to unpack. I'm not going to get into it because I'm riling myself up and it's the end of the show and I want to end it on a positive note. But so with that being said is Cody, just change up your delivery a little bit, be a little bit meaner and angrier, you know, and people around him just need to stop praising. Just go after him. He's the champion. Just go after him. Be mean. And don't talk about his dad. Don't talk about what his legacy has been. Just go after him. He's a champion. That's what we do. We go after champions and we beat them up.
That's why I'm a Kevin Owens fan. That's it. Like, that's so all that good God does. But like, we have one more advertised appearance for Cena. And I think they need to do some work in it. They need to do some work in it because I don't know. It just hasn't. The heel turn was insane and incredible. And the follow-up has been measured and good. It needs to not be so measured. The next one needs to be John Cena laying in the boots a little bit more. Cause I liked the you people aspect. I liked the I'm going for championship number 17 that came up last time. We still don't know what the relationship with The Rock is. And we still need more viciousness, I think, from John Cena. So we'll see. We'll see what we get. But guys, that ends our SmackDown review for tonight. A lot more of you watching today than last week, so we appreciate that. I think this was a better time for us to rock and roll this evening. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. Stay tuned for plenty more content on Fightful. Subscribe to Fightful Select as well, and please do leave a thumbs up as we get out of here. But Cardoza, where can people find you?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can just head over to my name. Just use my name. I'm dropping it like it's hot right now. It's AlexisCardoza.com. I made it so easy for you. You go there, you see the links, you click on them, and you enjoy everything that I'm giving you. Content, love, anger. And if you happen to land on my...
Content and love and anger.
If you happen... If you happen...
The Alex Cardoza... Summary.
If you happen to land on my TikTok page, be ready for that trip, because it is it is something that's blown up on its own. But yeah, thank you all. I greatly appreciate being on here. As I tell you guys, thank you so much for supporting me and supporting obviously Kate, who's gonna give her spew, but it's my time right now. So yeah, and just know that when I speak about wrestling, and I know you guys know this, but someone's going to listen to this, I speak of it from the passion and the love that I had from sitting in my grandpa's living room watching on a small little 13-inch black and white bunny ear antenna TV. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the passion that I have for this business. This is why I'm so grateful for Fightful, Kate, Sean, and everyone else who's involved here in this company. That's heartfelt.
Content and love and anger. That was the love part.
That was the love part. Now you get it.
Guys, you can catch me on Fightful Select every Monday with Alex Pulowski, every Tuesday on the main channel reviewing NXT here. Wednesdays at the Mark Order podcast talking all things All Elite. Thursdays I have off now. We've paused the ROH review for a bit. But you can catch the TNA show with Joel Pearl and Cresta. And Fridays back here. Having some fun. I'm also expanding on the social media side here at Fightful as well. So if there's stuff that you guys want to see more of, if there's stuff that you're like, enough, Fightful social media, that's enough out of you, let us know. We're going to be making some changes, but we would love to know what content you want to see more of. We've got some exciting moves on the horizon on the social front.
Even so, if you want to see Alex's AEW's hot takes on Fightful social media, I'm not saying that could be a possibility. Alex's hot takes.
Let us know what you want to see, but we are going to get out of here. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Have a safe and wonderful March Madness. We'll see you next week.